Okay, I want to cover another four categories of mukta briefly. There's one more after that that's a lengthy one which we'll have to spend at least one shiur on. That's a basis l'davar ha'asur. But these are not so lengthy. The first one is mukta machmas isser. There's two kinds of mukta machmas isser. One is where the thing itself is something asr and therefore there's no use for it. For instance, basar b'chalav, not allowed to have any enjoyment from it, so that's basically mukta machmas gufo. There's no purpose. Or shatnes, beged that shatnes that you can't wear. It's machlokas whether it's mukta or not. The Mishnah Berurah says the ma'isa that we should know that it's mukta. That's what's called one kind of isser. Then there's another kind of isser. Mukta machmas isser, that we're afraid that if you move the thing, you'll come to do an isser. For instance, a candle that's burning is mukta machmas isser because we're afraid if you move it around, you'll put it out. It'll go out, or whatever. Things that were produced, juices that came by themselves out of fruit that's squeezable. So we're afraid that if you drink that juice, you'll get interested in drinking more, and you won't have any more, and you'll squeeze the fruit. Or what you call clothing that was wet when Shabbos came in, that can't touch it without squeezing it out. We're afraid that you'll end up squeezing the water out of it. In those kinds of clothing that are normally, the water is squeezed out of them. So, and then it remains mukta the whole Shabbos. Because when Shabbos came in, it was mukta, so kivin diskatzoi, since it was mukta for the beginning of Shabbos, remains mukta the whole Shabbos. So that is the category mukta machmas isser, either something that's asr to use, memela it's mukta, or something that we're afraid that you'll do something asr if you move it around. That's one another category. Another category is mukta machmas mitzvah. You designate something for a mitzvah, so then that mukta applies even during the week. But not mukta you can't move it, mukta you can't destroy it, use it for anything except the mitzvah. For instance, you have a sukkah during sukkahs. So the schach and the defanos are mukta l'mitzvasa. They're set aside for the mitzvah. You can't use them for anything else. Can't take it apart and use the schach for something or use the walls for something else because they're hooked to the mitzvasa. Because of that, since they're only usable for the mitzvah, on Shabbos and Yontif, they're mukta to move altogether. During the week, you can move them around. Just can't use them for some other purpose. But on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't move them at all. So the schach is mukta, you can't move it even if it fell down. In other words, you can't move it, obviously, if it's on the roof because it's building or taking apart a building. But if for some reason the schach fell off, it's mukta on Shabbos or Yontif. And any of the decorations that are connected to the schach are also hooked to the mitzvasan. And however, decorations on the walls, there we're makel that you can make a tnai. And you can say that you are not designating these decorations that they should be for the sole purpose of the sukkah. Right, and you're not separating yourself from them. If you'll need them, you'll be able to use them. So for instance, you hang up an apple on your wall of your sukkah and you decide you want to eat it. Since you made this tanai, you could eat it. But if you didn't make this tanai, you can't eat it because it was set aside to be a kishut for the sukkah. You're not allowed to take it away from that purpose. But if you made the tanai basically is, I don't separate myself all the whole day nashmashas. Right? I'm not separating myself, and once it's not mukta when Shabbos or Yontif came in, it's not mukta the rest of Shabbos or Yontif either. And then, at will, you could decide to, you don't want it to be a decoration anymore and use it, and mainly you're allowed to move it around on Shabbos or Yontif, or if it fell off, you can move it around, it's not mukta. Another mukta ma'al shemen for Ner Chanukah, right? Oil that was set aside for Ner Chanukah is mukta, you can't use it for any other purpose. On the other hand, if the thing could be used in a way that you don't use it up or use it for something else, right? For instance, an esrog. An esrog is not mukta because you don't have to eat the esrog. You can smell the esrog and still maintain it for the sake of a mitzvah. So since the esrog is usable even and leaving it also for the sake of the mitzvah, the use doesn't contradict, negate the mitzvah, so therefore an esrog you're allowed to smell, and you're allowed to, what's it called, move it around, because it's not muktzah, it has a use. Even though it's you set it aside for the mitzvah, this doesn't negate the mitzvah, and anything else similar to that is also okay. So that's a second category. Any questions on muktzah machmas isser or muktzah machmas mitzvah before we go to the next two categories? Okay, next. Muktzah machmas mias. Something that is disgusting. A dead roach, even a live roach. But what's it called? Or any other disgusting things, except here there's a kula that if it's a disgusting thing that is in a place where you need to live, like your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen, dining room, you have a dead mouse, dead rat in the middle of the dining room, or a dead roach, then that's called a geref sharei, and you're allowed to pick it up regular, well anyway, regularly you want to pick it up, and get rid of it, right? Even though it's muktzah, but they were matir to get rid of a geref sharei.
You pick it up with your teeth, or
your teeth? Right. If you can pick it up with your teeth, it's not a geref sharei for you. You're a geref sharei for you. Okay, so that's a muktzah machas mias. And then the last category I want to discuss tonight is nolad. Nolad means that something that wasn't around when Shabbos or Yontif came in, and it came into being on Shabbos or Yontif. An egg that was laid on Shabbos or Yontif. A milk that was milked on Shabbos or Yontif is nolad, and it's muktzah. That's real nolad. Then there are things that are me'ein nolad. They're not, they were around, except they didn't have the use that they have now. For instance, you have a kli, and it broke on what's it called, on Shabbos or Yontif. And the kli is still usable for something, but not for its original use. It's not totally unusable. So totally unusable, then it's muktzah. But if it has a use, you could use it, but not for its original use. Okay? The pieces are, you can usable for a paperweight, or to cover a bottle or something, but that's not the original use that it had. So that's me'ein nolad. Now, since it has a new use that it didn't have when Shabbos came in, it's like nolad. Yontif, that thing is muktzah. Shabbos is not muktzah. Shabbos is okay to move it. Yontif, it's not okay. Okay. Any questions on any of these categories of muktzah?
Pure nolad is usher also Shabbos.
Even on Shabbos, yeah.
Melting ice.
The what?
I've heard of melting ice.
So ice, making ice or melting ice is what's it called, is a shaila, whether that's called nolad or not, because there the thing is there, it's just a different state, right? It wasn't that it came into being. B'shas Adchat, we have guests and you don't have ice, you're allowed to make ice. B'shas Adchat Mistam, you're allowed to melt ice too. You're allowed to melt ice for sure in a kli with his water. You're not allowed, there's a shaila whether you're allowed to leave ice in a glass to let it melt by itself, where you don't do anything. You don't put it near a fire, you know, near a heat thing, you don't stir it or whatever, just leave it. Just leave it, it could be that's okay to do. If it's in water, there's already water in the glass, and you put ice in the glass, it's for sure mutter. To stir it, to make from the ice water, right, that's already, we're not to do that. Or to put it in a place where there's heat, right? Even if it's not going to cook it, not very low heat, but the heat will help to melt it, right? So to put it in a place where you're going to melt it, that's also not proper. But if it's going to melt into water that already existed there before, it's not going to create a new puddle of water that wasn't there before, then it's bottle and it's for sure okay.
So if let's say you have a bowl of ice in a hot place or whatever, so it's, but your intention is really for the ice and not for it to melt. If it melts,
right, so you'll have to leave it there, there's no problem. And then what's it called, the water that melts off from it, since you didn't do anything to create that, right, if you need the water, especially if it's mixed, the best thing is to put other water, a little bit of other water in there, even a little bit of water, right? And then it's bottled.
So it's sheer, or just become, like even like
that's no noticeable that the water is separate by itself. Yeah, there's a puddle of water at the bottom of the bowl. Okay.
Well, why is the criteria whether you do something or not?
Because
you don't do anything for a base, you know, yeah.
No, because there it's, because as we were saying, it's real, there the thing didn't exist before. Here, the water was here, it just was in a different state. Changing something from solid to a liquid, right, where it's going to happen automatically by itself, the ice is going to go back. So it's something that you don't even have to do as a process to change. It's just an automatic thing when there's temperature change. So many poskim hold that's bechlal not nolad. It's just, it's the same thing, just in a different state. It's not like ashes. Ashes, like something got burnt on Shabbos. So when Shabbos came in, it was a piece of wood. Now it's ashes. That's nolad. It's a different metzias. It's not the same metzias. You can't make the ashes back into wood. Mashen came, water and ice are the same thing. You could make them back and forth many times. Change the water back to ice, the ice back to water. Mele that, many people know that's not nolad bechlal. So we're machmer to consider it nolad, but because it's only a chumrah, it's mutter if it's b'shas ha-tzorech to make ice, and it's also mutter if you're not doing anything, it's happening by itself, we don't consider that nolad.
So ice cream, which is solid,
ice cream is tama also, you could.
But you can't eat it when it's cold, so you have to let it go a little bit.
You can't eat it when it's. You can drink it.
Sorry?
You can drink it.
No. Solid ice. Solid.
Scoop out.
You can't scoop it out.
Ah,
but
yeah.
So you have to let it.
Yeah, that's for sure not nolad, because that you didn't change the thing. It's just soft or hard.
Yeah, soft or hard.
Yeah, that's not. That's for sure not nolad. That's okay. That's for sure you can do. That you can even put near a heat source where it won't get yatzal lettuce bowl to make it melt a little bit. As long as you don't let it melt to be water, then it's just like water and ice. But just to make it softer, that's not a problem.
Pure, like a frozen challah, you want to put it.
Frozen challah?
Yeah. You just want to make it not hot.
If you put it in a place where it could become yatzal lettuce bowl, it's awesome. If you put it in a place where it never, if it leave it there the whole Shabbos, it wouldn't be never become yatzal lettuce bowl, it's mutter. To thaw it out. You can thaw things out on Shabbos.
Even if there's water that will accumulate?
What?
Even if there's water that will come up it from the egg?
If the water is just on the surface of the thing and won't separate by itself completely, that's okay. If the water will separate, and not only that, the water is not considered water in that kind of case. It's not considered, it's considered a solid. And even for Gabi Bishel. Now you have something with gravy on it, but it's not separate gravy, and when you melt it, it won't make separate gravy, just glistening on the top of the roast. Then that's considered a solid, and ein bishul achar bishul, even if the gravy was cold. But if the gravy will congeal, will decongeal, and make a puddle separate, then it's a problem. Then it's a bishul.
If the challah doesn't have ice, why can't? But even if it's it's lettuce, but why can't be put on top of a challah pot, which you'll get yatzal lettuce ball? But there's no bishul there.
Yeah, because putting on top of a cholent pot is not afia, it's bishul. And yesh bishul achar afia.
There's no liquid there. Where's the bishul?
It's steam.
No, but there's no liquid in the challah.
What? No, you're now cooking the challah in steam instead of baking it in an oven. Baking it is with heat.
If steam is coming out.
Yeah, well, fine. But if it's not, then it's an enchanam. But if you're putting it in a place where there's steam, then there's a halacha bishul, so if it could be yatzal as well, it's also. If you're putting it in a place where there's no steam, right, you can't put it into an oven, so I don't know, put it directly on the blech. Directly on the blech. Right, so it's on, that's afia. That'll be okay.
As an aside, can one use a frozen chada as a second one for definition?
What?
As an aside, can one use a frozen chada as a second one for definition?
Even though you can't eat it.
Yeah.
According to many poskim, yeah. You know, the second thing doesn't have to be edible, even though it should be edible in some state, but doesn't have to be edible the way you have it now. Could be even something that you don't eat, but somebody else could eat. Like you only eat shmur matzah. You take a regular matzah, you can use for lechem mishnah, even though you're not going to eat it.